and the Lord put a thorn in my flesh. Are there any dentists here? I told this friend of mine, a dentist, yesterday, I said, this is your gospel, or this second reading, because, yes, I have a dental appointment coming up, and I got a toothache. What can I say? But this also, this powerful image, Paul writes, not just about thorn in the flesh, but also in my weakness is my strength. Paul's paradoxical words to the Corinthians about weakness and power, vulnerability and strength, echoes down through the centuries, encouraging believers to find God's presence among our weakness, our worries, our wounds, or as Paul states, that thorn in the flesh. And so tonight we are invited to consider the thorns in our flesh. What might they be? Perhaps it's a lack of patience with a relative or a colleague. Or maybe the thorn in our flesh is of physiological nature, as we may struggle with a disability. Or it might be a psychological nature, where we cope with an addiction. Often in the sacrament of reconciliation, I hear about these struggles, these addictions with alcohol, pornography, those unfreedoms, whatever they are, feel accompanied with Paul. Scholars speculate about his wounds, but it's the fact that it's never said, is saying, well, I can identify with a thorn in my flesh or in my weakness, which each of us has. But there's where I'm invited to find his strength. And this second reading from Paul, it's in the context of a reading about prophet Ezekiel being called to prophecy, and Jesus in the gospel being called to his hometown. The sense of how God's power is among them. The passage from Elijah was very likely known by St. Paul, and perhaps inspired him to preach to the Corinthians, who, like the Israelites of Ezekiel's time, were at times stubborn and hard-hearted. Listen again to the words of Ezekiel. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one speaking said to me, Son of man, I am sending you. Ezekiel to the Israelites, from Paul to the Corinthians, to Jesus to the Nazareans. Where might you and I be sent or called? The call to be prophetic amidst those who may not listen or even reject us is often found for the prophet to face. But often he or she first faces wounds or worries, disabilities, vulnerabilities, weaknesses, and they often come in the form of temptations. Like Paul, Ezekiel would have had to face his own human vulnerabilities and weaknesses and say, is this really the Lord speaking to me? Am I good enough? We might ask that same question. Are we good enough to stay prophetic, to stand up for love or justice or humility? Believe that somehow God is speaking to you individually and to us collectively. Similarly, Jesus is returning to his hometown of Nazareth, would have had faced temptations and this experience vulnerability. These are my family and friends who I grew up, and they're not listening, rejecting me. Think of how Jesus might have felt, the temptation. Indeed, in Luke's gospel, Jesus, in the same chapter 4, Jesus is in the desert, the three great temptations. And where does he go? Goes right back to Nazareth, and he faces even a greater temptation because we don't believe you. Who do you think you are? We're going to throw you off a cliff. The passion of Jesus did not just begin in Gethsemane or on the cross. In a real sense, it began in his hometown, amidst his family. Certainly not his parents, but some of his own family, his cousins, may not have believed in him. Do not some of our passions happen in our own families? And some of our calls to be prophetic around love and forgiveness and reconciliation is called for us to be in our own family. How do we find Paul's paradoxical words being witnessed today nation of Thailand. An event has united that divided nation. It was torn apart by factions and polarizations, and for a time, that has been suspended because of what's happening to 12 boys and their coach in a cave. Perhaps you're following it. It's amazing, a miracle right before our global eyes. 4 boys today were rescued. 8 have yet to be rescued, plus the coach. Think of the family. Think of the ways in which their anxieties. You know, 3 Buddhist monks blessed the cave in preparation for the rescue. Yes, in the weakness of Thailand and of those people, God's presence is being felt. It's an amazing event, a parable, if you will. And it's not over yet, as we well know. One tragedy has already happened. An heroic former Navy SEAL has died. On Friday, I took the opportunity to visit the Thai embassy just down the street here on Wisconsin Avenue and K Street. I walked in and I really said, on behalf of you, the faithful community of Holy Trinity, I want to express, as a Christian, as an American citizen, my concern, our concern, for this people, this land. And I met with a representative of the Thai government who was very gracious. With tears in her eyes, she explained to me how our country is hurting, but we're rallying around, she said, and we're getting so much support from people around the world, from Americans. She was grateful, but she also conveyed how our country has been hurting and how this is uniting them. A parable for our own nation, perhaps. In a real sense, the Thai people feel stronger because of the vulnerability of the boys and the coach. In their weakness, it's a strength that's been found. In speaking with this woman, I was reminded how immediately after 9/11, how so many people came to us. Do you remember the first week or two where we felt a global support? That very day, tragic day, 9/11, a Jesuit from Jamaica came up and expressed his sympathy. He shook my hand and he said, "I'm sorry." I said, "For what?" "I'm sorry for your nation. You are hurting. This tragedy has made you vulnerable." And it struck me, it did indeed. But in our weakness, we found the strength. These ways in which God's presence, individually, collectively, nationally, globally, can be felt, is the mystery of how suffering can help us to meet transcendent people who care. The drama unfolding in Thailand today, and through their 3 readings, struck me as something pointing to someone else, a prophet who was sent to Thailand, who reminded me of Thomas Merton, the Trappist monk, prolific religious writer, one of the great writers of the 20th century. Thomas Merton, viewed by many as a prophetic voice, literally went to Thailand to give lectures on Buddhism and Christianity, and that's where he died in December of 1968. In his writings, in his autobiography, the great autobiographical novel, The 7-Story Mountain, Merton conveyed how he struggled with trust and where he found in his weakness, he found the strength of God's Spirit calling him, not just to the monastery, but calling him forward throughout his life. But he struggled, and one of his prayers, some of you may know, really captures that sense of weakness and confusion, and yet trust and strength. Listen to Merton's words. "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. The fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so, but I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that desire, I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road. though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Words, poetic and even prophetic prayer, may speak to us individually and collectively as the people of God. But it offers our consolation. In weakness, strength can indeed be found. A few minutes before he died tragically of being electrocuted in his room, Merton's last words, public words, were these: I think today it's more important for us to so let God live in us that others may feel God and come to believe in God because they feel how God lives in us. Brothers and sisters, this is our prophetic call to go out to one another. In whatever way we experience God living in us, we share it, we express it. Even though we may have doubts, we never have to face these sufferings, these troubles alone. We look at the Thai people coming together as an example to the world that in their weakness, in human weakness, there is this strength of humanity coming together. There is the power of our God.